Welcome to the Careers in Health IT podcast. My name's Alex Franklin, and in this podcast series, we'll be interviewing industry experts, influential figures, and thought leaders throughout the UK health informatics network. This week, we're speaking with Asif Nethikar. Asif is a project manager we placed earlier this year, and in this interview, he gives us great insight into his motivators, what got him into the industry in the first place, and really where he sees growth within the marketplace. Now, first up, apologies for the audio issues I had in this particular episode. I had to cut this conversation up a fair bit due to some signal issues here, but it's really worth persevering. I hope you agree with that, and I really hope you enjoy it. Well, how did you end up where you are today then, really, as a well-respected project manager in the health IT space?
So quite early on in my career, I worked for a company that produced complex reports for pharmaceutical clients. So I got to work with patient data, which was fully anonymous, of course, and I got exposure to healthcare that way. So prior to me coming on board, there was a lot of information coming into the company, which was unstructured and it was complex. So all this information was sifted through manually, one by one, by hand, by a team of developers. And I saw potential to automate this process, and I developed their first ETL engine that worked with unstructured data and inferred where the data was, and bring that into a database, and then sort of bring that structured data into a final database that was more suitable for it for reporting. Which we now call that ETL and data warehousing and BI. So we've got, we've obviously got names for that now, but back then it's just something you did by hand as a developer. So quite early on, I worked with my clients quite closely, because I realized unless I understood their actual business problems and what they were looking to achieve, I wasn't able to develop as a developer a fit for purpose product. And I also found out that my clients would constantly move goalposts. And if I, as a developer, went away, worked on a software product for 4 months and came back, I would have completely missed a goalpost because I wasn't aligned with what the client wanted and what the business needed at the time. So, and along with working with my clients, I also found ways of optimizing their business process. So I would work with my clients regarding that. And that's kind of where my journey became an agile developer and an agile business analyst. And I had a very good manager who mentored and supported me throughout this. And I do consider him amongst my very first mentors. And I got into the PM Scrum Master role that way.
What made you go into project management rather than carry on down the career path of, as you've written it here, electronics engineer, or what we would know as today as, you know, software developer?
I think I've never quite truly been a proper PM in terms of hands-off PM. There's always been an element of business analysis involved. I think that's why, to answer your question, it's the business analyst side of things that interested me a lot, because what I'm looking to do, I will implement the project, of course, but what I want to know is, why are we doing this? What are the business benefits I'm looking to achieve? Because when I implement my project, I need to be able to, the PM is a bridge for not just to the board, but also to the technical team. Yeah. And I need to be able to, when I talk to my developers, then I need to be able to communicate what the business needs. And then when I talk to the board, I need to be able to similarly speak about, the difficulties we're having, but in a way that the board understands. We can't speak about, for example, we have, Visual Studio needs an update or whatever. The board's not interested in that. We need to speak in terms that the board understands. And when we talk to developers, we need to speak in terms of what they understand, because they are, such, they are experts in their field. but we need the PM who's that bridge between the two worlds.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic kind of case in point, really, in terms of you need to be making sure, as a project manager, as my understanding of it is, you make sure you get the point across that is actually describing business benefits and selling on business benefits. So, for example, you know, a service desk might it's not only helping them process things quicker if we get more resource in for a service desk, but it's actually freeing up more of the organizational capability. And someone in your shoes would be talking about that to a chief executive far more so than the technicalities of the new, you know, ServiceNow service desk tool or sorts of.
Hello, Alex.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh no, yeah, your audio died. Okay. So I think I think if what I heard correctly was, So I've been quite lucky in terms of a normal PM. You know, we'll get a remit. You know, we'll have a business case, a PID, and then this is what you're doing, and this is what we're running with. But in my case, you know, like I said, I've been quite lucky, and I've been able to bring in a lot of my business analysts, business consultancy side to the table, where I am able to take an audit of the project before we start the project, and we can genuinely appreciate what the business needs. And the difference in the approach is we can start looking at the business process as opposed to, here's some software that we're going to install, and at the end of it, you're going to have an Excel on your desktop. The difference is we're going to start looking at the business process work that we need to do, the business change and transformation work we need to do to actually leverage that software, because those business benefits will not happen. Time and time again, I have seen software implementations fail purely because we did not look at the business change and transformation side of things. We missed many, many opportunities to optimize the business that way. I think that's where I've been quite lucky in that I've been able to deliver those benefits in that manner.
Yeah. Would you point at a particular project in your career, you know, recent or long gone, that where you think, actually, yeah, we did a good job on that. We did the change and transformation, Pete, right, well, and this was the outcome. And then conversely, you know, so I suppose without naming names or dragging anyone's reputation through the mire, but perhaps where you missed that out and again, didn't have the right outcome because of that.
I suppose there have been companies that I've worked for where things were, you know, professional services outfits where things were structured so highly to a point where, you know, you couldn't actually have that relationship with the client in the first place. It was a case of, you know, I was just a number at the end of a phone, and I had to make sure that we delivered things. And it was, I didn't like it. The company itself performed poorly. It had an awful reputation. And then there were companies that I've worked for where, you know, I've been involved right from the bid, tender, demoing stage. And we've got that relationship with the client. They've appreciated the approach that we took. They decided to go with us as the, you know, give us the contract. And, you know, we've performed that piece of business change transformation work. We've worked with the clients. We've done, we've delivered the project in terms of the IT. And then we've even built into the contract with so much confidence that we're happy to come back in a year's time and have and structure as part of the our payment, our final payment, the business benefits that we promised to deliver, that they've actually come to fruition. So, you know, that's how much confidence, you know, we have in that approach and I have in that approach. Unless we do these, get the relationship with our clients right, make time to develop that. Because one of the other things that happens is if, for some unforeseen reason that's well out of your hands, some third-party supplier is late with something or another, then, you know, it impacts delivery, and you need to have an excellent relationship with your client to be able to communicate that and to absorb that that delay and renegotiate, a go live if that happens to be the case. So, you know, that relationship is quite important, and understanding what your customer wants, what you're delivering is very important. Hello.
Hasn't dropped out completely this time.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. With us again. You're coming through loud and clear, by the way. So I'm hoping it's picking up both ends, but I'll crack on. No, my next question really, started out looking at, you mentioned, you know, back in the 90s, looking at healthcare data sets, but you've kept on in the healthcare space. And I'm wondering, is there anything specific that has, was that kind of a conscious choice, really, is my question, in terms of just working with either healthcare management consultancies, integration partners, and then you've been on site at the sharp end, haven't you, quite a bit, and including with my good self recently on site at Acute Trusts. So was that a conscious choice for you, or is that one of those things that you kind of fall into it sometimes, don't you?
I suppose it's a question. It's a mixture of both. It's something I do genuinely enjoy. Helping to deliver healthcare. Although, you know, people, it is my opinion, of course, but people who work in the background, the technical team, the field engineers, the developers, you know, all these people have, you know, a part to play in the patient's journey into getting well.
Yeah, sure. Of course, yes.
And we enable nurses and doctors, to do an even better job than they do. So working with doctors and nurses, these amazing, talented people, and helping them do an even better job, and if I've played a part in that, then I find that profoundly satisfying.
Yeah, I do as well. And I feel... the industry that we're in, delivering change for health, there's a much more, you know, it's another reason to get out of bed in the morning, isn't there, really, when you know that the project you're working on, or in my case, you know, the client I'm working for, well, if I haven't delivered this resource on time, then there's going to be, you know, a clinical benefit, a potential clinical risk or an impact to someone's, you know, livelihood or life, really. If we're delaying a go live, you know, are we going to have, you know, heaven forbid, systems downtime that was, you know, longer than we anticipated over the weekend? You know, all of these kind of things, they do, they're not to be trivialized, and they can, you know, not just by things going wrong, but we can have a really big effect. And I think it's really interesting the amount of, yeah, certainly certain private investment that's come on recently. I think Babylon Health have been in the papers in terms of AI and the work they're doing there with their products and pushing that out. I think,
what do you see emerging from your experience in terms of within the industry, really, as if any kind of new practices you see coming through, new technologies, anything disruptive you want to talk about?
I think in terms of AI and ML has certainly, you know, so we're starting to see the fruits of what that can do in terms of diagnosing cancers, for example, diagnosing tumors. So, you know, we're starting to see, we get to the point where they have a much more higher hit rate than, you know, trained people, say radiologists. So we're getting to that point. I think but they are specialized systems that, you know, you then buy from GE or whoever that happens to be. Now, from my perspective, I normally, you know, when we're delivering to a trust or we're, you know, working for a trust, I think when we start bringing in that data, we can start looking at for things, for example, clinic management. You know, so this is data that we already have at the trust, and we can start saying, well, what tools do we have to analyze things and start looking at patterns? So whether that's weekly, hourly, or seasonal demands, so we can start looking at what type of patients come in at what times of the year, what's the demand going to be for, say, what extra nurses we might need on a weekend. You know, some of the things that we do in the police, for example. So, for example, if we know that there's a parade happening in the city centre, that there's going to be a particular type of particular types of incidents we can expect to come in to A&E, for example, or, you know, if the if you're next to the Formula One's happening and it's in your city, you'll expect a certain type of incident to happen, regardless of what that happens to be. It's we've got the information now, and we should start incorporating that into our plans. And I think that's where, you know, data analytics and AI and ML will start coming into play, which is recognizing patterns.
Well, that concludes our first shot at the Careers in Health IT podcast. Massive thank you for Asif coming on the podcast. I think you'll agree we went over some really interesting grounds around his progression from software engineering and a real hands-on approach with pharmaceutical data sets way back in the early 1990s, right through to the present day IT project management that he's been doing with his healthcare clients, and his passion to put that core kind of business analysis and put the business benefits first at the core of everything he does. So I really enjoyed recording that one with him. Just to get this out there, the idea behind these is really to get the stories of my own network out there, properly documented, so that we can learn, we can all kind of learn and share from each other. So I'm, of course, really interested in speaking with thought leaders in the health informatics space. So if you know of someone with an interesting story that they'd like to share, then please do reach out to me. I'm very easily contactable on LinkedIn. But thanks for listening. And of course, if you enjoyed this, please like and share. Have a great day.